Well, you know, I just noticed one thing here. They don't want me to preach very long today. Give me a little bottle. Next week it'll be a thimble. I get it, guys. You know, it's ironic because I'm just cutting out a ton of scripture today that I was going to share because I want to get to the final point. But before I get there, I want to talk about this thing. We've kind of changed Memorial Day into barbecue and swimming and family, and that's not a bad thing in and of itself, but I think sometimes we forget. In fact, most people don't know the difference between Memorial Day and Veterans Day. Memorial Day is for the dead. Veterans Day is for all, dead and alive. But, you know, I could give you the history of Memorial Day. It's not the point. The point is there's, well, you know, last week we talked about euangelion. Remember what that means? Euangelion, the gospel, what does it mean? Good news, thank you very much. So I'm kind of starting a series, I think. Today we're going to talk about the good news, the gospel of remembering. The good news, there's actually good news in remembering, and God kind of walked us through all that forever. The first one that he did was the rainbow, if you remember the whole Noah thing, and he got the animals on the ark. But then afterwards, it's interesting because He said that he's going to throw this rainbow in the sky, and he says it's to honor not just man, but the animals as well. And he said, so by me putting this rainbow in, that when you see this rainbow, that's to remind you that I will never destroy the earth by water again. That's pretty cool, isn't it? And in fact, it's really cool because every time I see a rainbow, I think of that. Even the double rainbow. I don't know if you ever saw that video. That was pretty funny. Some stoner dude talking about the double rainbow. Yeah, some of y'all have seen it. You probably shouldn't have done that. Another memory that he told us to do was the Passover. In fact, he actually gave the Passover instructions prior to doing the Passover. And the Passover was, remember, the last plague was the angel of the Lord was going to fly over. And anyone who had not put blood on the post at the top and the two sides, which obviously we all know that makes a cross, and what's so cool is the Bible says that when he sees the blood, he will pass over you. Huh. Death will pass over you when you see the blood. The blood. And so he gave those instructions, and he said, so every year I want you to remember this. I want this to be able, and he would always talk about the children. I want your kids to know. I want your kids to know that this is what's happening. I want your kids to know that the reason that you celebrate the Seder dinner, which is S-E-D-E-R, and they have this big dinner and they celebrate it. In fact, he instructed them on how to eat it and when to eat it. And if there was any yeast in the house for 7 days, I mean, a speck of yeast. In fact, now, even now during Seder, they will walk through the house. It's kind of a formality now, but back in the day, to make sure that there was no yeast in the building. But he said, I want you to do this every year to remember how I rescued you. Then you go, there's other memorials that were given. I don't know if you remember when Joshua was fixing to take over, going to the thing, do Jericho, and they needed to cross the Jordan River, and God said, I want you to send the priest with the Ark of the Covenant with the power of God ahead of you. Wouldn't that be cool? Instead of us, we tend to let him behind us, and then when he, you know what I mean? It's like, God, I'm going to do this, then I want you to bless me. How about we follow him and let his blessing, you know? Anyway, so they did that, and the Bible says that they stopped there, and when they stopped there, the waters parted. And this was not one of those Cecil B. DeMille films. This was a slow water moving completely out of there, and the Bible says that the water was dry land. And then he instructed them to go and get 12 stones, big ones, to represent each of the tribes, stack them in the middle where they had put that, as a reminder that anytime anybody saw that, how God had done this thing. In fact, if you look in if you study the Bible and read the Word, most of the festivals in the Old Testament were significantly done once a year to show something. But what I want to talk about today is how important remembering is. It really is. There really is good news in remembrance. The problem with us, I think, sometimes is we just remember the bad things, don't we? It's like, man, God, would you just help me to forget that? Well, There's purpose in memory. I shared at funerals a lot. Sometimes, you know, when someone dies, the only thing we have until we get to see them again is the memory of it. And isn't it amazing to you? It is to me, and it probably is to you. The meanest of all mean people can die. But man, at the funeral, all you remember is the good about them. There's been people in my life that were just rascals. But yet when they die, all I remember would how they did this and the good things. Wouldn't that be cool when you die in Christ if you could do the same thing for you? All you would remember is the good in you? You can get there, by the way. Again, you've heard me say it a million times, if I will focus on Him and not me, if I'm Jesus conscious and not self-conscious, there's power in that. So we are talking about Memorial Day, and I just skipped a ton of scriptures because I want to get to what I believe is the most important one, because all the Old Testament ones were once a year. But then there was, and there was all several of them, but there was only one that was given, one thing to remember in the New Testament, and Jesus said it. He said, do this in remembrance of me, as often as you do it. Often is key. Let's look at the scripture. I bet you're real happy I got rid of all that scripture back there too, huh? You're like, man, I don't have to buy anything. That's good. The Apostle Paul, let me tell you what's happening. The Apostle Paul is giving instructions. Here's what's so funny. Because the Apostle Paul was the guy known as the guy of grace, everybody thought he was soft. No, he was very heavy-handed for people who were heavy-handed. You get it? But he had a heart for Jesus, man. I've been studying Paul's life because he fascinates me. Paul tells people more than anybody else in Scripture that Jesus will set you free. Yet he was in prison most of his life. He had a freedom. He had a freedom. Listen, I have friends. In fact, I have friends that I proclaim to that are in prison now that I tell them, you do better in prison. You are more free in prison than you are out of prison. Do you understand? Because that's not what prison is to us. Prison for us, well, we'll maybe get there a little bit today. I've just cut out 30 minutes of my sermon, so you should be happy. Because it's Memorial Day tomorrow and we're supposed to be remembering, I really will take time tomorrow to remember the dead. I actually have an uncle that did not die in combat in World War II, but he was at Bunker Hill. I don't know if you've heard of that. And he was so physically maimed that he never had a productive life after that. So I think he kind of died inside. You know what I mean? We all have our own stories, but I think it's good to pause and remember. So Paul is giving instructions to the Corinthians. Paul's already told them about, man, that dude sleeping with his father's mother, that needs to stop. And, people are just funny because Paul was so full of grace. Paul was constantly having to tell people, he would give almost a resume every time before he would speak because he wanted to ensure people that he was hearing from the Lord because, again, they were just twisting and turning things. So anyway, here he is giving instructions to the Corinthian church. He says, when you meet together, you're not really interested in the Lord's Supper. Back in the time, they would meet for the Lord's Supper, for communion. Now, we have our own ways that we do it, and ours is the first Sunday of the month. We have communion, and we pass it out, and we recognize the bread, and we recognize the cup, then we go on with our lives. Back then, it was a little bit different, especially in the purity of the beginning, because Jesus didn't give instructions on when to do it, because if he gave instructions on when to do it, that's the only time we would do it. Do you get what I'm saying? The only time we do Passover is at Passover. The only time, Purim, there's another great one. The Feast of Purim is to what? Show the annihilation. We celebrate it every year to remember how God stopped the extermination of the Jewish people through some crazy events. Most of you that have been there, you understand what that is. So there's all these things that happen, but Jesus just said, as often as you do it, didn't say it's seldom. I need to actually vet that word out so I can know what it means because it's pretty interesting to me. But anyway, so what had happened is they were coming together as people, obviously, and they were having communion. It's almost like a brunch on Sundays. They would come together and they would have speakers and stuff, but then they would have the Lord's Supper. And the whole purpose in the beginning was to remember Jesus. Now watch this. He says, when you meet together, you're not really interested in the Lord's Supper. For some of you hurry to eat your own meal without sharing with others. As a result, some go hungry and others get drunk. You're celebrating the Lord's Supper, and some of you won't share your stuff, and some of you just getting bombed drunk. Now, he's straight up. Do you get what I'm saying? Paul doesn't beat around the bush here. That greasy grace guy. What? He says, don't you have your own homes for eating and drinking? Or do you really want to disgrace God's church and shame the poor? What am I supposed to say? Do you want me to praise you? Well, I certainly will not praise you for this. For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. Wait a minute. Paul wasn't there. Paul wasn't at the night before the crucifixion. He wasn't there. What is he talking about? I received it from the Lord myself. If you remember, he was on his way. He used to kill folks. He was on his way to Damascus with a letter from the king saying he could take prisoners of Christian prisoners and bring them back so they could be tortured and killed when he got knocked off his high horse. And Jesus said, dude, why are you messing with me? And Paul goes, Paul was actually, his name was Saul at the time. He says, who are you? And then the words out of his mouth that changed Paul, Saul to Paul in his entire life and Christian life. After he said, who are you? Jesus said, I'm Jesus, the Son of God. That's all it took for Paul. Then, of course, he was blinded. And I don't know if you all know the story. I'll tell some of it. He was blinded, and then Agabus laid his hands on him, and he could see again. But what's so ironic about Paul, he went immediately from Saul to Paul, and went straight from going to kill Christians to wanting to love and bring Christians to believe in Jesus. They didn't even believe it. They thought he was just setting them up. You know, why should we believe you, dude? You're just, yeah, sure you want to come tell me about Jesus. You want to come and get, you know, take me away. But he received it from the Lord himself. I promise you, on Damascus Road. He says, on the night when Jesus was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and said, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance. Do this to remember me. Here's what I want you to see very clearly. He is not wanting us to remember Easter. That's the resurrection. He's wanting us to remember the cross. The central focus of our worship is the cross. It always has been the cross. It will always be the cross. Yes, the resurrection's cool and powerful. It was the cross that took care of the business, and the resurrection brought us to life. But Jesus didn't say, I want you to remember when I was resurrected. Take this bread and no, he said, I want you to take, watch him. He says, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant. The old covenant, the Old Testament, the old contract. Jesus said, this is the new covenant, the new testament, the new contract. What was is no longer, now this is. Do you hear what I'm saying? This is the covenant between God and his people, an agreement that was confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing what? The Lord's death. Why is death more important than life? Because until you die, you will never have real life. There's people who don't think Jesus died for them, think he was crippled for them, but we do the same with our own selves. We allow ourselves to be crippled, but we don't die. Do you realize that dead men can't sin? Oh, but we will, and we do. It's not the point. I tell you a million times, Jesus took care of that on the cross. The problem with us is believing that crazy, reckless, as that song said. I love that reckless love. I want to put a W in front of it. Think it through. Reckless, without a wreck. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you're announcing, proclaiming, shouting, Jesus died for you. Not just for me. See, that's the problem. People think he died for me because I'm the preacher guy and oh, God loves me more than he loves anybody else. That is so silly. He died just for you, period. In the story. He died for you. Oh, the resurrection was cool. He rose again. And that's cool, but he died for you. Let's keep going. Wait, let's go back. Sorry, I didn't know I was done there. I really am canceled out a bunch of notes. I don't want to get to that part yet. That's where I'm at. So his death and his resurrection was to set us totally and completely free. And I want you to hear me again. You can be in prison and be free. You can be confined and be free. You can be wrapped up and be free. You can get the white jacket and wrap me up and send me on my way to the crazy farm. I'm still free. Because freedom is found in Christ. Now we can go to that scripture. Jesus said, John 8, to the people who believed in him. Hold up. He said to the people who believed in him. There's no reason to tell somebody something if they don't believe in you. Do you get it? Don't waste your breath. And I mean, there's just people who aren't going to. Don't bother. So Jesus said to the people who believe in him, you are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings. Now, in some versions, it'll say obedient. This is exactly what it means, though, is be faithful to do what he said to do. Now, what's so ironic is, immediately when we think that in our brains, we immediately, because we've been taught this way in the United States for a long time, we go directly back to the Old Testament for some reason. If you do what I command, you do what I do, okay, then that means thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt, no. Jesus never taught that, did he? Help me. What did he teach? He said, dude, if somebody slaps you, Ed, let him slap the other side. He said, you've heard it said, man, to love your buddies. And I'm here to tell you, you got to love your enemies. So be faithful to the teachings of Jesus. Stop going straight. It's easier to go to the Old Testament than to his. Jesus said, I didn't come to abolish the law. I came to fulfill it. Well, what does that mean? Then he immediately starts telling, you've heard it said in the Old Testament this way. Now I'm going to push you further. You've heard it said to go a mile with this Roman soldier who demands your jacket, and because he's Roman and you're Jewish, you better give it to him. And I'm telling you, you go 2 miles with him and give him your pants too. Wow. So let's be faithful. So he says, you're truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings, and you will know the truth. And the truth will set you free. The gospel of remembering the one command that Jesus said concerning this is communion. Now, here's what's so fun for me. I, on purpose, did not prepare any communion for anybody to do. Because that's not the point. I thought about it, and I struggled with it, but that's not the point. The truth is, I have communion every day, and I'm not bragging. That's not bragging. I'm just telling you, I have found this worship connection through remembering the body. And let me tell you something, it's gotten crazy now. Because in the beginning, I was doing it for my prostate. You get what I'm saying? Jesus, I remember your body. And let me tell you something. Keep it separated in your brain. The body that he says to remember is for your healing. It is completed and totaled Period. End of story. Don't mix that with forgiveness. That's what the blood is for. It's very clear in Scripture. So when I take the bread, I would say, okay, God, I pray that you work in me. And while you're at it, man, I've got this little mark on my leg. I would appreciate that. And I'm fat. And I don't want to be fat anymore. And I don't think eating is going to help me not be fat. Unless I don't know how many calories is in this. But you know what? Through my time of communion with Him, that's when I begin to get enlightened on my weight. And by the way, if you haven't known, okay, this is a side note, but it fits here. My son and I and my grandson Eli went to eat yesterday at Two Highs. We ate over here at this Vietnamese restaurant. And some of y'all know Squig, right? Well, Squig's off the wagon now, but it's okay. He'll get me whatever. Sometimes he's actually a happier when he's drunk and sober, but he's off the wagon, and him and his buddy were there, and so Eli's uncomfortable. Well, he sees Steve, he sees me, and Jake goes, man, to be as messed up as he is, he sure has a good memory. Anyway, so I talk to him, and we go in. So this is like at 11:15. We go in and eat. We finish about noon and come back out, and him and his buddy are still there, and he's still got his beer there, and Squig looks at me, and Jake and them goes on. Squig says, man, I'm hungry. And I said, look, I'll give you some money, but are you gonna buy booze? Or are you just going to eat? He said, no, I'll eat. And I trust him. His buddy goes, I'll be honest, I'll drink it. So give him $5. And as we're standing there, he goes, he's drunk as a skunk. He goes, man, your belly ain't as fat. And I'm thinking, holy smoke, was it that bad? That my little drunk buddy would tell me, and I'm assuming he meant it as a compliment. Fast forward about 4 hours later, I get, you know, I have an app that's with the fire department where I get the calls on it, and it had this sick person number one, which is not a real bad situation, but anyway, it said, called in from Too High Restaurant, said two guys possibly drunk in front of the donut shop. So I sent that to Jake. He sent me back, ha, 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 ha. So that's my buddies. I said all that to say, I'm back on the bread. Instead of this bread magically being a pill for me to lose weight, the Holy Spirit enlightened me to one of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control. I did a whole sermon on that a couple weeks back because there was such an epiphany in that for me. And I knew I really got it, and I told you this, when my mother said, man, you look like you've lost weight, and I said, probably, because used to it was, yes, I've lost 18 pounds in 3.7 days, and I worked hard and sweated and ate the right food. I'm not even eating the right food. I'm just trying to understand this is something the Holy Spirit can do for me. But I'm not real certain had I not begin this whole stopping my day and doing this communion. But here's where I was headed with this. Now, because I've been doing this for probably 6 or 7 months, and now it's turned into, this isn't just my healing. Tiffany, I have communion for you. And I believe for you. I have communion for my friend Gary, because his business was going through some serious junk. In fact, I even told him, I said, Gary, I'm gonna be one of the four guys that took that paralytic and ripped the roof open and dropped him down to see Jesus. You don't have to have a lick of faith in this. I'm gonna believe. And I'm gonna believe. So, and then when you get to the blood, the grape juice, the whatever. And you know, that whole, I can't believe you forgive me. I can't, man, that turns into another, yeah, I want to forgive too. I don't know if I can forgive like that. But then something happens incorporated in this thing. I share that because I share that with trepidation. That's too big of a word there. Because I don't want anybody to take the magic pill. The disciples did it all the time. Well, I say the disciples, that's unfair. We've done it. The disciple says, Jesus, tell us how to pray. Jesus said, pray like this, our Father which art in heaven. And he talks about, you know, don't pray like these Pharisees do, just saying the same thing over and over. So now how do we pray? We quote the very thing that he told us how to pray. We did just exactly the opposite of what he asked us to do. Because the truth is, if you don't believe God is good, you're not going to pray normal. If you don't believe he really loves you recklessly, I love that song, by the way. Who wrote that song? Do you know who wrote it or who did it? Who? Okay. It's the first time I've heard it. It really is. And so if we don't believe that about him, if we don't really believe that, then we'll never talk normal to him, because there's something, I mean, just look, if I don't have a relationship with, like if I go into a store, I don't have a relationship with somebody, I say, yeah, will that be all for you? Yes, sir, that'll be all. Thank you very much. Thank you. But if Ed's working the counter, I walk, Ed, dude, how you doing, man? And then I just talk to him normal. Why? Because I'm comfortable with him. He knows me. I know him. It's a relationship. But if we don't believe that God loves us like that, we'll never be in relationship with him. Hear me. If you really think that God doesn't like you, why in the world would you want to hang with him anyway? I wouldn't. And that took me years to learn that. Y'all need to get this, some of you young bucks. Listen to me. As you start understanding and receiving his love and his mercy and his grace and his, I can't believe you can love me through all this, then you can talk to him normal. So your prayers aren't just R-O-T-E, rote. They aren't just mimicked. They aren't just our gracious heavenly Father. Stop. You'll stay there. You'll stay fake, if you will, if you don't really believe he cares. Because if you don't really believe he cares, you're just going to take him your shopping list and share it with him and hope to God and maybe he'll do it. Where am I at here? So he said, you're going to know the truth and the truth will set you free. What is the truth? I want truth. I don't just want opinion. I want truth is he died. Truth is he loves you. The truth far outweighs it what anybody else's opinion of how you should do God is. I'm so glad I don't have to do God like some of us think we have to do God. What do I have next? There you go. This is a continuation where I said, you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. By the way, he's talking to the church at the time, the Pharisees, Sadducees, and actually, the Pharisees are the church leaders. Sadducees are kind of quasi-church leadership. Everybody else is just listening, thinking that he's dissing the church leaders, which in essence, I guess he was, because he was speaking truth. But we're descendants of Abraham, they said. We've never been slaves to anyone. Do you get this? Do you get how surface this is? I will set you free. It's like when he told the guys when he's going to go raise Lazarus from the dead. He said, yeah, Lazarus is sleeping. And they said, well, if he's sleeping, leave him alone. Because he'll get well, you know, because, you know, when you sleep, it's just like, dude, he's dead. You know, he had to make it clear. These guys are the same way, taking everything on the surface. That's why I tell you all the time, read the word in context. Find out who he's talking to. Like if you go into 1st and 2nd John, it's going to rattle you a little bit concerning this grace thing because it's talking about how horrible sin is and all this stuff. He was talking to the Gnostics. Know who the audience is. Know what time, and then quit reading one scripture, pulling it out and saying, woohoo. Because if you don't read in context, you take the text away. If you just read the text, because otherwise you're being conned. But we're descendants of Abraham, they said. We've never been slaves to anybody. What do you mean you will be set free? And Jesus replied, I'll tell you the truth. I want the truth. Everybody who sins is a slave. A slave of sin. Watch this. And a slave is not a permanent member of the family. But a son is a part of the family forever. So if the son sets you free, you are truly free. Take that. Let's see if I have any notes. I'm at my conclusion. I'm glad. And so are you. So tomorrow, we remember those who have died to allow the United States of America to remain free from tyranny. That's really cool. And I just ask you, take a little time tomorrow to do that. Enjoy your barbecue and your you know, if you're going to the lake, whatever you're doing, enjoy that. This is not dumping guilt, but at some point, stop by yourself with you and your family, right when you get whatever, and just, I still to this day question how come God allowed me to be born here. I've been to India. I've been to India. I don't know that I want to be born there, although thinking it through, if I was born there, then I wouldn't know the difference. They're a whole lot less stressed than, did you know we're the most stressed country in the world, United States of America? They over there, they got these beautiful white teeth because they don't have processed foods. And they don't know where their next meal's coming from. In all honesty, one of the orphanages that we were serving, he said, we have allotment for a month, and if something happens, so we add a kid or something, we run out a couple days early. I say, what do you do? He says, we just tell them we're going on a fast for 2 days till we can get the next load in. How smart is that? And he's not stressed at all, not being able to feed these kids. And we're stressed over what kind of tires to get on our car. So here's the point of this whole thing. We have to remember tomorrow and even for everything. Freedom is not free. A price is always paid for freedom. And the price is always paid from the bank of love. Look at this, and then I'll be done. John, Jesus said these words, "This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I've loved you." You want a command, you want to obey Jesus, you want to obey, there's his command. Just do that one, and I promise you, you'll do that one, everything else in your life will fall crazy into place. Love each other in the same way that I have loved you. There's no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. And you're my friends if you do what I command. What did he just command? That you love one another like he loved you. He says, I'm no longer calling you slaves because a master doesn't confide in a slave. Now you're my friends since I've told you everything the Father told me. You didn't choose me. I chose you, you little arrogant thing. Well, you know, God called me into ministry. God called you into ministry when you were born. I read, I think it was yesterday's paper, there's a weekly thing that of Billy Graham, and this guy writes in, he's in his 70s, and he writes in and he says, basically he says, I missed the call. You know, I was called to ministry, I wanted to make money. He says, here I am at the end of life, and I'm really am doing well, but I missed the call. And I'm like, no, you did it. We're the only country, well, no, Europe does some too. We're the only country that does this full-time, part-time thing. You know, full-time minister, part-time minister, and then if you, and then there's this pecking order. You're a children's pastor, then you move up to the youth pastor, then you move up to the associate pastor, then you move up to senior pastor, then you move up to district superintendent, then you move. Pretty soon you get to be Pope, I guess. Do you know the Apostle Paul made tents for a living? I don't think he didn't talk about Jesus while he was making tents. Oh, I'm at work. I can't do it. I don't want to offend. Let me tell you something. You will offend. Jesus will not. You talk about Jesus. Well, now, what about when he said, I came to offend and I came. We'll go there some other time. I'm going to stay on point. And I'm quasi on point today. So you didn't choose me. I chose you. Is that? Have you ever been chosen last when they do that, choose one? You know what I'm saying? For whatever sport. Now, in basketball, I was chosen normally first. But when it came to football, I was a little scrawny kid. So it didn't matter how athletic I was little. So I was always, you know, so by the time you finally get picked, you're like, okay. And so you know they won't really want you, but it's like, oh, we got to have him. Wish there was 11 and he could just sit out, you know. There's nothing worse than that. And so here you have God, the sovereign God of the universe, Yeshua Yamashia, the Lion and the Lamb, the one who has always been and who will always be, says, "You didn't pick me, I picked you." Amen. And the truth is, if he didn't pick you, he wouldn't have made you. Because then you would just be a dog or something. Or a stupid frog. That good Lord, man. Last night, this frog, I am digressing. I got frogs in my backyard, and for what? Whatever reason, he's loud. This is worse than snoring. Hank, 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 hank. And I'm like, you're going to get hoarse. He's going to slow down. I'm telling you, an hour and a half. So here's what's so funny. Here's the light switch. So I leave the light on. So it didn't matter anymore. So anyway, so like 3 o'clock this morning, he croaked. No, I don't know. No, this is the first time in my life I wanted to fire my weapon illegally. But anyway, as long as it leads his brothers and sisters away, I'll be fine, I think. Okay, I got way off point. I apologize. Oh, let's finish this out. You didn't choose me. I chose you. I appointed you. I appointed you. I appointed you. Not Steve, you. To go and produce lasting fruit. What is lasting fruit? Lasting fruit in our lives. The fruit of love, joy, peace, and it gets all the way to that self-control. The fruit of lasting fruit, not modification behavior. Do you know what I mean by that? We've seen that a lot. In fact, we've seen revivals like that a lot, ladies and gentlemen. The Azusa Street revival, you can name your revival. It has worked for a while, but it wasn't lasting. Why? Because what happened is, listen, fear will never motivate you to change. It never will. Jesus will motivate you to change. When you receive his love, you want to change because he loves you. It's not because you have to. So lasting fruit isn't just modifying our behavior. It's where Jesus said, I will transform you by renewing your mind. That means what? We need to learn how to think right. How do we think right? When we learn how to truth right. How do we truth right? When you really see what Jesus did for you on the cross. It's the cross, it's the cross, it's the cross. And this is my command. He repeated it again, a command. Love each other. Love, agape, not phileo, not eros, not soteria, none of the other great Greek words. He had to throw in that unconditional thing. That can only come when you start believing in this whole unconditional grace thing. Because you will never love someone until you can love yourself, and you will never love yourself until you can see how much Jesus did for you and you believe that he did it for you and that he would not only die for you then, he would do it again if he had to, which he doesn't have to because it's done. So that's pretty incredible that it says that he, you know, we give our life for somebody, but, you know, so that's that price of love right there, to give up your life for your friend, that's sincere. I can only assume that I would. I my closest friend I have is Georgia, Gary, and I think I would probably do that. In other words, if I could push him out of the way and me take the bus, I think I would do that. I'm not sure I'd do that. And the Apostle Paul got a grip, because here's the truth. There's one person who demonstrated even greater love than this love, and this is Paul writing to the Romans, and I really am done after this. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who's exceptionally good. I guess that's probably true, because, you know, like if I knew I had to die and they gave me a list of 5 people who to save, I'm sure I'd pick the one I like the most, right? You get what I'm saying? I'm sure I would just go, oh, well, yeah, well, nah, I don't think of him, nah. No, I'll die. I'll if I have to die, let that one live. But take the other 4. That's pretty much what Paul was saying here. You know, I think he was kind of saying this tongue in cheek, and then he keeps going. But God showed his great love. Look, I want you to understand the depth of the love that Jesus had for what he did on the cross. But that never would have happened had God not loved us. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, 3 in 1, they're all God. but I want you, sometimes I think we set God aside because Jesus is so awesome, and we set the Holy Spirit aside because Jesus is so awesome. I think it's because we relate better with Jesus because we can see him at least in our minds because we know that he's man and that he became man, and so we can put fingers and toes on him. The Holy Spirit we view as like a dove or something, just, you know, because in the Holy Spirit, the word literally means the breath of God. So it's that same word that was used in the Hebrew language when God says he breathed life into Adam. That's everlasting life. He's just as much God as Jesus is God, as God is God. But I think we kind of set that aside because we don't get it. But God so loved the world that he gave his son. So God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. We've heard that a million times. But we always stop there. But look what happens. And since we've been made right with God, God's sight, by what? The blood of Christ. The blood of Christ, the body of Christ. The blood of Christ, the body of Christ. The blood is talked about constantly in the New Testament because it's the blood that powerfully removes our sins. It was his blood that was shed for the remission. That means the total wiping out of sin. It's not like the Old Testament where the blood covered the sin for a year. This was completely wiped out. John the Baptist proclaimed it. There he is, the man who comes to take away the sins of the world. That's what the blood means. That's why when you constantly see the blood, Paul talks about the blood. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. This is where my focus needs to be. And this is where my focus is. Because it's from that truth and understanding that my life can grow into a deeper and wonderful understanding of the depth of the love that he has for me, as screwed up as I am. And I'm really almost starting to believe it. Sure makes a good sleep at night. Watch this. And since we've been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. That doesn't save you. It doesn't say save you from man's condemnation, does it? Who cares? If God be for us, who can be against us? And that really is true. So I just ask you tomorrow. I was probably too calm today. Nobody slept, though. Thank you. As you eat your hot dogs and hamburgers, and I walk in self-control and drink water and a piece of watermelon. That's really not true. I don't even, you know what? It's so funny. I don't even think that way now. You've heard it a million times. You eat to live or you live to eat. I don't know if I was living to eat, but I eat when I get hungry. I eat, and I only use one fork now instead of two. And you'd be amazed that instead of taking that loaf and setting it in my belly and being miserable, you just eat pieces of it at a time. Number one, you leave 3/4 of the loaf out. These are all, I should write a book. it's an understanding. And what's self-control? What it means? Anyway, I'm just jumping from scripture to scripture. Love you guys. Enjoy tomorrow. And don't forget, after service, drive around. And we have 50-pound bags of carrots. And so if you have any rabbits, I would suggest taking a whole bag, 33,806 pounds of vegetables.
At the beginning of that video, it was George Patton who said, "Don't be sad that they died, be glad that they lived." You know, what they did, we're still enjoying some of that freedom today.
Absolutely.
Right? But don't be sad that Jesus died, be glad that he still lives. Because the work that he's doing is eternal. It's never going to stop. So I just want to ask you a question today. Are you living your life like he's dead and just remembering him on a Sunday morning once in a while? Or are we living our life like he's alive and I remember him, not just when I get it right, but when I get it wrong? Not just when I'm really on top of things, but when I'm really unsure. Because today, you know what he wants? He wants us to remember that he's alive and he's active and he's powerful. And there's no place you're ever going to go in your life that he's not going to go with you. And there's nothing you're ever going to do in your life that he's not going to want to redeem you because he loves you greatly. Can you believe that this morning? Let's stand together. Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to meet together in a building that is paid off. We just thank you for the opportunity, God, to be with people that we know love you and that love each other. And God, today, we just pray for all those families who've lost someone recently or in the past, God, because they served this country. We pray for those families, God. We pray that those places of grief, God, would be turned to honor because you, God, know what it means to lay down your life for a brother. Now, Lord, today I pray for everyone in this room that we would not just think about your love, but that we would accept your love. And that our reminder that you're good is that every time the enemy tells us that we're bad, that we know we have your pardon because you still live as the guarantee. Today, Father, I just pray peace over your people. That no longer, God, will they be in the state of hide, but they'll be in the state of seek. We love you, Lord. We give you praise today, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. And they all said, amen. God bless Christians. Okay, now I want you to hit that parking lot. If you brought a grocery bag or if you didn't, and turn down here on Oakwood, and we're going to turn back up Lorraine. Yeah, straight up Lorraine. Get groceries. It's going to be so good. Fresh groceries, a lot of more organic. Men?